Hello, welcome. We're going to be discussing sources of equity capital, capital needs planning, projection of required capital for running a business. We need cash. We need liquidity. We need to be able to have cash to flow in and out of our business so that we're able to produce our products, pay our employees, pay the insurance, pay what notes payables we have. We need capital, and we need to plan our capital wisely and our uses of capital wisely so that we aren't putting ourselves in a position to where we need excess debt. Projection of required capital for running a business, working capital. This is what's in process. This is what is being produced. So capital and production, like raw materials and labor, that capital is being put to work. It's known as working capital. So human capital is our labor assets, right? Our human resources, our employees that are in the operation function, right? Should be an ongoing part of running a business. We need capital to stay in business. It's like the oil to our engine. We need the cash to keep it running, right? It's critical in a startup. We need cash, a large cash infusion in a startup, right? So during the startup initial phase, we're going to require probably a certain amount of equity and a certain amount of debt in the startup period, right? During periods of growth and expansion. So we've got our initial startup phase. We are underway. We are set. Now we have our foundation. It's time to grow. So in this growth process, you may find a company infusing themselves with capital from a stock issuance, or you may find funding themselves through debt a lot of times by selling corporate bonds. During succession planning, so if a CEO is stepping down and you have a new CEO set to take his place, there's going to be maybe a little bit of turbulence during this time, a little bit of uncertainty. So you need maybe a small cash infusion to ensure that operations don't take a nosedive. So sources of equity financing. First, we can use stock. We can sell stock. A company can do an initial public offering, right? So you take your company public. Now, anybody's able to own a piece of your company, right? Instead of it being private, now I take it public. It's open on the market to bid on and buy, and that'll give you ownership shares into a company. So in the IPO phase, a corporation sells common stock to the general public for the first time, right? The advantages of selling stock. Firm does not have to repay money received from the sale of stock, so it's not a debt obligation. You're selling ownership shares to the public. Firm does not have to pay dividends to stockholders unless it decides to. Now, a lot of companies, they issue stocks and they pay the dividend because they want to continue to attract investors, right? But a firm doesn't always have to pay out those shareholder dividends. They can retain that back in earnings and reinvest it in the business. It depends on what your shareholders' appetite is on whether you want to retain those earnings or give that back in dividends. Investors want to get paid, and are they willing to sit out a round of dividend payments to have the board of directors come back and infuse that capital as retained earnings back into the operation, so in long-term growth, their stock price will appreciate, and therefore their dividend payments will be worth more. So it depends on what do the shareholders really want to do, and that is why the board of directors is so important when issues come up like that, to whether retain earnings or pay out net profits as dividends. The shareholder, the board of directors can come in and they can really guide the corporation through that and speak for the shareholders and get those conflicts resolved. Now, also a source of equity financing is personal savings, right? The least expensive source of funds available. If you have personal savings, you have personal cash, you don't have to pay a dividend, you don't have to pay interest payment. That's your money. It's free and clear cash. It's liquid. You can invest it. Entrepreneur keeps ownership, right? If you don't need to sell stock or you don't need to go to the bank for a loan to finance your operations, you keep your ownership as an entrepreneur. 70% of entrepreneurs utilize as primary source of financing startups, right? Personal savings. If I am going to start a business, I'm going to use my cash to get it going. I'm not trying to start out in a negative situation by going to the bank and getting a loan. And a lot of startups, they aren't big enough to go public, so no one's going to buy the stock if they try. Provides an estimated 35% of average initial capital requirements. So that's great, right? So entrepreneurs need to come to the table with 35% of the initial capital required in order to have a successful venture. Assuming risk is good for potential investors or lenders. So, look, there's always going to be risk in business. Anytime you put your capital up, your cash up to be invested, you know there's a risk that that cash could be lost. So there is some risk, but having strong management allows the company to mitigate those risks, alleviate some of those risks, reduce some of those risks, and make smart risks with their money. So family and friends is another source of equity financing. Family and friends are more willing to invest due to the relationship with you. It's typically small amounts of investment. You need $1 million, friends and family, you might have 10 people that give you 10 grand, right? 100,000. They can get startup running. So if we can get enough cash just to get it up and running, then we can worry about infusing capital later when that time arises. But for now, let's get it going. Friends and family, help me out. Give me the cash I need, and we'll give you a return on your investment for your risk. Possibilities of ruining friendships and relationships with family. So if you have a business venture that goes bad and you're not able to repay your friends and family, let alone give them a return on their investment, it might not be a good outcome with the relationship there. So you need to be careful on who your sources of equity are. Be honest and treat friends and family like an outside investor. Just because they're your friends and family, don't try to sugarcoat it, right? Don't try to make it seem better than it is if things are going bad. You need to be honest with your friends and family and treat them like you would any other investor. You actually have a fiduciary responsibility to them to do so. Partners, bringing on a partner for a source of equity. If I don't have enough cash to get my operations running, I can bring in a partner that does have enough cash and provide him an ownership stake into the company and allow him to have a return on his investment. Partners allow for additional sharing capital towards the business, right? Ownership is split up among partners, right? So now I have a partner and I have part of his capital, and now he has part ownership into my company. Partners share liability and risk, although can be unequal. I may have 70% stake, he or she may have 30% stake. So it all depends on how the capital financing or whoever has the control with the most cash is usually how the ownership is split. Control and profits are shared, right? So the distribution of equity is usually how profits are going to be shared, as well as control. So if I have a 70% stake and my partner has a 30% stake, I have a larger distribution of the profits as well as the risk. Essential documents should be in place to outline specifics of the partnership. You know, you want to go into a contract. It needs to be legal. You need to make sure that all of these things are specified and defined and outlined in the contract so that we, when it's time to dissolve the partnership, maybe somebody gets bought out, maybe the business goes belly up. We need to know how to handle these parameters, okay? So we have angel investors, right? Angel investors are private investors who invest their own money in business startups for equity stakes. So I don't know this person, but I know they're trying to start up, and I'm going to come in and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to give you $100,000. I know you need $1 million, but I want 10% return on my money. And, it's up to the entrepreneur or the business owner to take the money or not from the angel investor. They are usually experienced, sophisticated entrepreneurs or angel investors, so they're going to target strong investment opportunities to invest their capital in. investing knowledge, experience, and energy. So they're going to bring expertise into the industry or the market and help the company potentially navigate through those type things. Fill gaps between around 100,000 to 5 million, right? So if I need 5 million, you know, maybe we can get three angel investors to come in and pony up 1.5. Bring advice, experience, and network of contacts, right? So we got to make sure that our angel investors, you know, they bring the experience and they help guide us through a turbulent startup period. Venture capital, private for profit organizations, right? Pool large amounts of capital to invest in businesses. Look for younger companies with considerable growth potential. So they're just going out, taking a fringe risk, right? Venture capitals, they say, hey, this is a small, young company. I don't know much about it, but I think this industry is going to be strong, forward-looking, after we do some more due diligence. Hey, I like the potential for this company, and let's invest in it and see what happens. 80% invest in the expansion stage of the business. So once they've got, the initial phase, the startup, right? And then, then they're in the growth phase. Once the growth phase is through, we see a large expansion. So you want to see these venture capitalists will come in during the expansion stage of business and really try to capture returns there. They seek high rates of return because a lot of times they are investing in greater than moderately risky businesses. Take a large portion of control in a company. So if they come in and they provide 50% of the equity, one venture capital deal, then they're going to want a large control stake. So company stage investment comparison, okay? So it's the dark blue is the percentage of angel investments and the light blue is the percentage of venture capital investments. So during the expansion stage, you can see that 80% of venture capital investments happen here during the expansion phase. 18% happen for both venture capital investments and angel investments during the early phase, right, in between startup and expansion. And at the startup phase, you won't see venture capital make many investments in the startups like the angels will, but the venture capitalists want to see that you have a foundation, that you want to see that, hey, I've got my operations up and running, things are looking good, we're starting to expand, we're starting to grow. Now that we are starting to expand and grow, now we need the capital, right? We're not big enough to sell stock, so now we need to bring in partners, equity partners, and sometimes can be venture capitalists. But angel investors, they do make 75% of their investments during the startup.